from Vegas.
Warning. Warning. Spankwagon Radio is now on the air.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Good morning, friends of television land.
Attention you out there in radio land.
Good morning. WPIX, August 8th, TGIF day. The time is 3:30 to 7, and this is Channel 7.
Good morning. This is television station, WORTV, New York.
Good morning, Starshine. Stay tuned now for our national anthem.
Hey, Claude.
Yeah.
Cue the music.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada, near the water treatment plant, you're listening to Spankwagon Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night, and tonight that means a whole new thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever. You're listening to Spankwagon Radio. I am your host, Trencher, and sitting immediately to my right, wearing some of the most gayest Vegas headwear I've ever seen. And I'm getting flipped off for it. Him in his little green little dealer's cap. Did you go down to the souvenir shop just for that?
Actually, no, my wife did.
Nice.
It was a gift from her, dude. It's fucking nice. It's not gay, dude. It's very actually Hunter S. Thompson-esque.
Yeah, but Hunter S. Thompson did it with style. You're doing it with Vegas tchotchkinism, or if you can make up a word.
See, you just make it up your own words.
Of course I make it up my own
words.
Works
when I do it, doesn't work when you do it.
Damn. All right, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Spankwagon Radio. I'm Trencher, and sitting next to me is the... Throw up some of your own words.
God, it's been so long since I
did
this.
You used to just throw up some words to make up your name.
What the hell? I used to have something about being in the Ayatollah of some shit. What the fuck was that? I don't know.
The Ayatollah rock and rolla?
Nah, no. That's very Knight Rider-esque from Mad Max. What the hell was it? God damn, it's been so long since I've done this.
It has. It's been quite a while since you actually came in and intro'd a show, and, you know, I was worried. You were almost late, I had this feeling, and I was almost worried going, I'm going to have to do a show not show.
No.
I wasn't prepared for a show not show. All right, folks. One more time with the website, spankwagon.net. We want you to listen, and listen well, and listen good, because for the next 2 hours, it's going to be Claude and Trench. We're here doing the show, bringing everything back to the way it should be. With Spankwagon Radio. So, now, Claude, you've been gone for a while, and you came back, and we've had you on the show in the past telling your stories. Hopefully we get to hear some more of them, and I'm getting cued.
Yeah, I've been gone a little while here now.
Yes?
Yeah, actually, Jesus, it's been how many years now?
Well, you almost left in three. Christmas of two... Jesus, this is depressing. Christmas of 2005 is when you signed off for the last time as a host.
That is true, very true. And I have stopped by a couple times when I've been on working, when I had a break here and there. But, yeah, it's actually been that long a time. I noticed a few things have changed here in the studio. Namely, this chair smells like ass. What the fuck have you people been doing in here?
Hey, you know what? Don't look at me. There have been some very unsightly characters that have done shows here.
Like what? You left the fucking door unlocked and the homeless came in?
It was two steps away from... Well, okay, let's look at it this way. Imagine you're a guy so fat that you've given up on blue jeans.
You're talking about people that like start wearing pregnancy pants and shit like that.
Yes, and we're talking about a male, a man, a dude wearing pregnancy pants.
I'm picturing ponytail and for some reason, comic book guy.
Very close to comic book guy, but not in the bald. Actually, if you look more towards our Buffalo Jim statue here in the studio, imagine that, but in sweatpants and without charisma.
Wow.
I mean, that statue...
And apparently without cocaine, too.
You know, okay, yeah, let's even dive into that a bit. this week, if anybody's been following the news here in Vegas, we have a character by the name of Buffalo Jim Barrier. Or Barrister. Barrier? Barrister? Barrier?
Barrier.
Barrier. Why would you say Barrister?
Probably because
did he do that
natural.
For one of his wrestling things?
No. A lot of people keep saying that. I've even slipped up with that, but it's actually Jim Barrier. James Barrier. Buffalo Jim ran his own little school of wrestling right here and even had some of his students break off and try to create some sort of weird fucking faction of some anti-wrestling school that failed. But basically, he's very well known for his embattlement with Rick Rizzolo.
Yes, the reputed connected man, Rick Rizzolo, who actually ran the Crazy Horse too, down off of Industrial Avenue next to Sahara, by way of Tan.
Yeah.
If I can kind of give out, as if anybody can actually, well, Google Maps, look it up. So, anyhow, give it a little more of the back. What the hell are we? Are you just going nuts with the music tonight?
Of course.
All right.
This one's for Buffalo Jim. A lot of people think he's actually murdered, namely his
family and his everyone family. Else who actually likes him.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if he's murdered or not, but I'd like to pin it on Rizzolo anyhow. Just some good old-fashioned fucking Vegas kind of justice. Rizzolo's very well known for running the Crazy Horse 2 strip club in Las Vegas, and he's even more well known for this fact, not because he runs this establishment, but because he beats the shit out of fucking people that don't pay their bill. And I don't mean people that, like, say, I'm not paying, you know, $200 or $300. People that's saying, you're not charging $25,000 to my fucking card because I did not order 5 cases of Cristal. That kind of shit. And he's actually had people guilty of fucking murder of some of his patrons back as far back as the 80s and the 90s. Lots of people being paralyzed, things of that sort. So anyhow, 1 week after Rizzolo was released from a halfway house on probation for tax evasion, which Buffalo Jim helped send him to prison for with his testimony.
Sent him with Miller, Larry Miller,
yes.
Who at the time was a councilman.
Yes. Was paroled 1 week after he got out of his halfway house parole. Buffalo Jim turns up dead. A lot of people are saying, specifically Buffalo Jim and one of his, or Buffalo Jim's daughter, excuse me, and one of his friends, that calls were placed stating that Buffalo Jim would be dead within about 2-3 days. And 2-3 days later, he was in fact dead. They're saying his death was brought on by cocaine abuse to a heart issue with heart disease. It was not an actual heart attack because the heart muscle itself was not dead, but cocaine can exacerbate the problem. Furthermore, private autopsy has not yet been completed, and Buffalo Jim's daughter is complaining Metro will not release full details of the investigation to her, that she has to get a court order to unseal documents from a civil investigation. So it is indeed very fishy. Now, I honestly don't know if Rizzolo is guilty or innocent, but
necessarily be guilty or innocent himself, but there's an association there that, I mean, really strikes to the heart of Vegas and, you know, the old Vegas. Now, we always talk, and I know you and I have talked about it in the past. We have a deep respect, a very, very deep respect for old Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I have, we understand what the mob was doing in this town. We understand the good and the bad and the very ugly of what the mob was doing in this town.
I understand a lot of what the mob did do to try to build the town up. Specifically, number one, it was, of course, as many people may or may not know, to go legit. Long story short, back in the 40s and 50s, you couldn't get a loan for gambling. Gambling was not a respectable business, not the way it's viewed upon today by every politician and banker that needs to make a quick buck.
And let's look at it this way. It's not even that it's you can get loans to open up casinos. It's the fact that you can open up an IPO for a gaming organization. You look at the Wynn, you look at Mandalay Bay Entertainment, you look at, Circus is Mandalay Bay now, but you look at the Boyd Corporation. Gambling today is all about, and gaming today is all about stock. I mean,
very much so. And as, if anybody's seen Casino, it's like, oh yeah, okay. So the Teamsters made the loans and blah blah blah, and you know that regular banks wouldn't do, but they got paid back, and then all of a sudden, junk bonds helped build the Mirage and shit, things of that sort. Yada yada yada. Yeah, but see, nowadays, basically, whereas before, people were like, no, vice, no, gambling leads to sex and drug abuse, and no, we won't have this in our upstanding Sunday school communities. And, of course, what happened from that was a lot of politicians realized, hey, shit, this is, like, you know, better than traffic citations at boosting tax revenue. So gaming's not so bad, just be responsible with it. Very hypocritical, to be honest with you, it really is. But, the gaming, because of its the fact that it can grease so many palms, became respectable. in that sort.
Well, okay, but you say respectable, but we know that everybody was pulling something off the top. I mean, skimming was a word that not only, you know, was...
People pull
skimming
shit.
Skimming was defined by Vegas.
Well, first of all, you know, a lot of people act like skimming doesn't happen. Let's go ahead, let's talk about how skimming still does happen. A very prominent MGM hotel property. MGM and Harrah's now own basically Vegas damn near down the middle, for a lot of people don't know this. It's located in Mississippi. I don't know if it's towards the Gulf, but you can get fresh crab.
Or you can get the crabs?
Well, you can get crabs or fresh crab. Anyhow, they've had a bad history of kleptomaniacs. Let's go ahead and let's explain that. I'll just go ahead and say it's fucking Beau Rivage. Hotel and casino. Their last GM before the current one they have now, or at least a year ago, basically was buying parts and equipment for the hotel and was doubling up on stuff to have installed in his home. Things, everything from a 3-ton air conditioner. If people don't realize, that's like shit used for like refrigeration, for like meat lockers, not a fucking house. And he was using company labor to install it there. Now you don't need to fix somebody's toilet. You don't need to fucking repair some light bulbs. You need to go to my house and install a jacuzzi. That's literally what this guy was doing. His daughter got married. He rented out the entire top floor of the Beau Rivage for all the high roller suites, as well as a fleet of limousines, plane fare, and the Magnolia Ballroom, all for his daughter's wedding, and all on the company's credit card. And this was not really actually found out until around September 11th, when so many people got laid off and they complained.
Really?
Really. So, and to this day, there are still 8 company vehicles and ATVs and a boat, a fucking 40-foot yacht, bought in the company's name for this guy that cannot be accounted for. They're not found. They don't know where they're at.
Oh.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's talk about some more shit.
You
right
know,
there.
I can understand the ATVs and cars. They're gonna, but a yacht is is massive. And
oh, let me tell you something right there. Without getting too privy, because this is common knowledge for a lot of people in the service industry. George Maloof, owner of the Palms, likes to pull, especially his idiot family. Maloof, smart guy. Family, complete fuckwads, dude. It's like Steve Martin being the retarded brother in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That's right. Maloof's family. They like to pull engineers off of their shifts from running room calls for guests to go to Metro Pizza to pick up pizza for them and deliver it to their house. No shit.
Oh, my God. See, and you know, I think I see what you're saying here. It's not the skimming in the traditional sense of
it's not skimming in the traditional sense. It's racking up billable hours for individual departments and other things.
And then you know, but you got to admit, as an engineer, you're like, okay, sure, I'll go deliver your pizza. I have this degree or this experience, but I'll deliver a pizza.
Well, trust me, being an engineer doesn't take much experience to go fucking unplug a toilet.
Well, I don't know. We could ask the guy in D.C.
Yeah. Well, that's another.
That's a long old story. All right. So what we're going to do, looking at the clock, we're going to go ahead, take a very, very, very short break. I've got some music I want to introduce to you.
Okay.
It's been so long since we've had the ability to share music.
Good. Introduce your music. And I've got some music of myself I'd like to go ahead and introduce too.
What this is, it's called, I've been listening to a lot of mashups. A lot of stuff where you have, you know, a fusion of two songs that oddly enough fit very well together. But I thought I had to bring this for you, for your first day back or your first show back, because this is truly a unique mashup. It's called Gangsta Grass.
Gangsta Grass.
It's a mashup of hip hop, gangster rap and bluegrass.
Sounds very intriguing, actually.
It is. And actually, it got the whole CD online, downloaded it. Very good stuff. Surprisingly good.
I assume you paid for this legally?
Actually, they gave it online for free legally as part of their Creative Commons license.
The RIA.
Yeah, it can eat my ass.
Just wants to keep you safe.
Did you hear what they did to Revision 3?
I don't know.
We'll cover that in a minute.
Oh, good.
All right. Why don't we do a couple things? First off, we need to open up the phone lines. So we'll do that right now. We want everybody to call in. The number, please.
Let's see. Give me a list, dude. Am I allowed to say that one right there?
Yeah, that's our number.
Oh, good. Because last time I think I did that years ago, I yelled at 1-866 LB Rocks.
That's 1-866-587-6257. We have the lines open. And, of course, we have our email, radio@spankwagon.net. Mm-hmm. We want you to email us. Let us know what you think. Hey, and I think I got it going. I don't know if you've logged in yet, but claude@spankwagon.net's up and running.
Yes, go ahead and email me. Sure. I'm sure everybody with fucking offers of cheap Viagra and fake Rolexes will
fill my inbox. Hey, I've got a spam filter for this shit now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It may work. All right, let's get to the music, get to the break. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to
Spank Wagon Radio.
Right now, that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness that I would even show up to this fake shit. So go ahead, go nuts, go ape shit. Especially in my pastel on my base shit. Act like you can't tell who made this new gospel, homie. Take six, take this, haters.
That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, 'cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, 'cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now, that's how long I've been on ya.
I need you right now.
I don't know if you get a man or not, if you made plans or not. God put me in your plans or not. I'm tripping, this drink got me saying a lot. But I know that God put you in front of me. So how the hell could you front on me? It's a thousand yous, it's only one of me. I'm tripping, I'm caught up in the moment, right? 'Cause it's Louis Vuitton dine night. So we gon' do everything the kind like. Heard they do anything for a Klondike. Well, I'll do anything for a Blondike. And she'll do anything for the limelight. And we'll do anything when the time's right. Baby, you're making it
faster.
Oh. That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now, 'cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, 'cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now, that's how long I've been on ya. Like I never told ya. Don't act like I
never
told ya. Don't act like I
never
told ya. Don't act like I
never
told ya. Don't act like I
never
told ya. Baby, you're making it
better, faster, stronger.
That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now, 'cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, 'cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now, that's how long I've been on ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Claude Sneezing. Hairball Radio.
Lung Butter.
Lung Butter Radio. No.
Lung Butter Radio.
Lung Butter Radio.
That's awesome, dude. That'd be like a really great, like, fucking hypochondriac show, you know? People would call and be like WebMD on the radio, dude.
But actually, we encourage their symptoms.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You don't. What about that rash? What rash? You know, the one you have on your arm? I don't. Oh, you mean this one here?
Is your hand kind of itching right now?
Well, now that you mention it.
Yeah. Is there any discoloration? That's always great to ask about discoloration. Is it a little red? Is it a little pale?
Oh, what?
You'd be like it'd be like a fucking the John Edwards soothsayer apothecary.
Say that again.
the John Edwards Soothsayer Apothecary Hour. You know, he'd be like that, dude. You know, be like, you know, John Edwards, that fucking psychic's like, I'm getting a vision. Does someone here have a relative that's dead?
I have a relative that's dead.
It's a man? No, it's a woman. Yeah, it's a woman. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And then he'll like fucking go through like 50 names where he finds it. Goes, yeah, yeah. Sorry, the lights in here were giving off
Bob,
too much
energy. Bob, Tim, George. That's it, George. All right, Stan. No, I said George. Oh.
That's exactly how he fucking goes. He has his own show at the fucking Flamingo now.
Okay.
Every time I walk in there, dude, it's like my brother-in-law staring back at me. My brother-in-law looks like him, dude.
I need to get confirmation. Can I get a thumbs up or a thumbs down on that from the studio audience? I'm getting a kind of a wavy hand. Okay. I think that means cut the bit. You're unfunny. Down on 40, take the penalty. I don't know.
There'll be an ass whooping later.
Yes, but that's encouraged. Oh. Where's my music bed?
I don't know. What the fuck?
I forgot to load my music bed.
Not been doing this very often, huh?
You know, I've only been doing it for, you know, a couple of weeks and all, and, you know, got the music going. Thank you for bringing in music.
I can do some music, man. We can do something, like, really depressing. We can do something really happy.
What do you got for music?
Let's see.
Let's do Claude's Random Music Launch. That's depressing.
No, it's not. It's going to be happy. Dude, it's, trust me, it's a very repetitive song. You just do this in the background, and this fit perfectly.
It sounds like someone's just going through scales on
No, they're not, dude.
Oh.
See, there you go.
Oh, hey. I know this song.
Yeah.
You're listening to King Hesh, dude. Oh, wait. Still wrong.
Dude, I'm sorry. Not a striper.
Oh, my God.
Heaven over the mountain to see what he could see. Hey! The other side of the mountain was all that he could see. So he went back over the mountain to see what he could see. Hey! The other side of the mountain was all that he could see.
All right. Moving on, because we started talking about this a little bit during the break, and then we realized we kind of let the song go too long to come back in on.
Yeah.
So what do we got? What do you have? Because you and I have been arguing about this, and you have a very interesting point of view that I've been thinking a lot about lately when it comes to fuel economy in cars.
Yes. Big thing. And we're going to go ahead, first of all, before I get into this, okay? I want to go ahead and say something right now. I am sick and fucking tired of every time I turn on the radio, I turn on my TV, I read the newspaper, which, yes, I subscribe to, or I read a fucking news site.
Wow, I've never, you know what?
Stop fucking telling me how to save gas money on my fucking fuel economy. I know, keep my tires inflated, wash my car. You know what? Get fucking over it. God damn. That doesn't fucking alleviate people's frustration with gas prices, tell them how they can make their cars better, okay? Shut the fuck up. I'm sick and tired of that. God damn, dude. Experts say that if you change your fuel filter, no fucking shit. Keep your tires inflated. Thank you very fucking much. It's goddamn annoying. And I know that nobody has anything new to add for the news.
Wait. You're talking to a general public or a general populace that were morons enough not to trade out their bad Firestone tires 10 years ago when the cars were randomly going la-da-da-da-da. Boom, flip, yay! No, you're talking to that public. That public that doesn't check their tires. That public that runs their car so far out of oil, they go to start up their handy-dandy little fucking Nissan and it goes click. And that's the cylinder.
Wow, so what did your wife do to your car?
Wait, no, she actually didn't. Well, no, she set the Stratus on fire.
Yeah, I remember that.
She did set the Stratus on fire, but that's because it was a piece of shit electrical gremlin from hell. Anyhow, continue.
It was a fine Chrysler automobile. Yeah, I'm done with Chrysler, too. Anyhow, yeah, but the good thing, though, about gas prices, though, a lot of people say, well, we're encouraging more people to be more physically active. Obesity is going down. My biggest pleasing thing with gas prices, people can no longer try to tell me, well, it's worse in Europe, and including, you know, inflation in the economy, prices were worse in 1981.
All right, you know what?
I'm tired of that shit.
You know what? That argument's gone because the prices are far too high. They're far too too big now to even compare.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me, you want to talk about the oil prices in Europe. I've been there. Yes, they are expensive, about $8 per gallon of gas.
Right.
Okay, here's the two things about Europe. One, they've been driving little cars for a long time. They know how to shove a family of eight onto a moped.
Right.
With a trailer. Mm-hmm. Okay. They know how to do this. But what they didn't do, and what I think, as let me get a little patriotic here as Americans, What we know how to do is, hey, we have a problem that, yeah, we caused. Let's start finding solutions. Was it a Brit that found and figured out how to do the ethanol? Now, granted, it's not perfect yet. Nothing's perfect.
Actually, what's very interesting about
this... What about the battery power cars, the Prius and the hybrids and stuff like that?
Specifically talking about off the floor showroom floor or the plug-in hybrid conversion?
I think we'll go with the off the showroom right now.
Okay.
I think that United States, and especially factories that are dealing with the United States and corporations...
And I'm going to tell you right now, that's bullshit. Hybrids are a waste of fucking time, money, and effort.
I'm not saying hybrids aren't a waste of time, money, and effort, but I'm saying...
I'm saying they are.
The fact that it took the United States to have this crisis... Not the United Kingdom, not Europe, which has been paying for gas prices and that failed argument now for a while. Mm-hmm. It was the United States getting close to the $4 or $3 when all this really started coming about.
Right.
That someone said, oh, fuck, we could be in trouble here. It was the United States who finally got that momentum going.
Well, the thing about it is, and to kind of counter that argument right there and to segue into another one, no, in my opinion, hybrids are a complete waste of fucking time and money, whether it's a simple Prius or even if it's something larger such as the Ford Escape. Number one, I have to agree with Bob Lutz, even though he is a fucking douchebag, Bob Lutz being the former head of General Motors. I do agree that...
Former head of Chrysler, too.
Yes. That's a good point, too. PT Cruiser and shit. Anyhow, Bob Lutz did bring up a good point that hybrids are not economically feasible for small cars. And that is very, very, very true because they're too fucking expensive. Now, yeah, this is the thing. Right now, a lot of people are fucking all hyped up like, oh, my God, VW has a new TDI Golf.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a diesel hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets 60 to 70 miles to the gallon.
Actually, yeah, that's been talked about previously.
It's a waste of fucking time.
Why would you feel it's a waste of time?
Because it's a funny name. It's called the Charade.
Huh. Is that a Suzuki?
No, Daihatsu.
Okay.
Daihatsu made the Charade. They made a diesel version of the Charade that was released in the early to mid 80s. And it gets without any fancy technology other than direct diesel injection, good old fashioned shit, 80 miles to the gallon, and it doesn't need hybrid technology.
All right, so then the next question is, why the difference? I know we've talked about this in the distant past, but safety features and safety is causing the raise the increase in price of cars and stuff like that. And
you know, and
do you think it's the safety features weighing it down that's taken fuel economy away?
No, I really don't think so. I think what's happened is people give two shits and a fuck about these kind of things. I think one of the big differences in Europe. What's funny is this is an argument you and I have had before. My wife got a Jaguar.
Yay, Jaguar.
There's no fucking cup holders in these things.
And it's an old Jaguar. This is not a Ford Jaguar.
It's not that old. No. It's on its way to becoming classic. No, it is not a Ford. This is a XJ6, a.k.a. the XJ40. It's a Sovereign with an inline straight six engine. Yeah, it loves gasoline if you fucking stomp it. But, dude, otherwise it gets really good economy. But the point here is, over there, yeah, this is one of the top-of-the-line cars, okay? Because, you know, it had the wood paneling interior and the leather and shit like that. But when you break it down to your cars, you know, A lot of your average cars in Europe are a hell of a lot more simplistic. Is safety killing American cars? I would say yes, but I think that mostly people are encouraging it. Not consumers, but the bean counters inside the automotive corporations. The reason I say that is if you ever look, especially when I lived in Houston for a time period, I've seen Renaults drive up from South America. I've seen a lot of Volkswagen Golfs, and these are brand new cars, and they don't have to have airbags because they don't have the regulations down there.
Right.
Yeah, it is kind of it's a catch-22 that, yeah, our roads are technically becoming more dangerous because we do have more cars on them.
Well,
but truthfully, airbags really aren't that necessary.
Let me interrupt then. Let's talk about scale of size with airbags and cars and vehicles on the road in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what we became from the mid-90s to, you know, very recently was an SUV and a big vehicle market.
And the reason... Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
Maybe accidents were more severe, more bad, more deadly was because of the larger vehicles. And if our economy is forcing us to shift into a smaller vehicle... segment, if you will, much like the early 80s. Yes, I'm going to bring up that era.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Please, the late 70s, early 80s.
My opinion is that's one of the best times for cars, and a lot of people disagree with me, but we'll go ahead and we'll get into that.
We'll get into that then. But maybe it's a fact or a case of, you know, because we'll have a lot less larger vehicles, the car accidents won't, you know, the safety will be better because the accidents, well, you know, two marbles into each other doesn't do anything, you know. Two bricks into each other may do a little more damage.
Right, and that's what Ford ended up doing as well, because I know we're segueing all over the place, but trust me, this will tie in together.
We'll get there.
Ford had to, in order to reduce their problems with their insurance vehicles, Ford vehicles, if you actually take a notice, everything from their trucks down to their compact cars, such as the, the Ford Focus. Mm-hmm. Ford has uniform bumper height. And that's the problem with SUVs that have bumper heights that are way too tall for other cars.
Yeah.
And you'll see a lot of cars that, you know, they've been hit head-on collisions that drive up over. Tit, friend of the show.
Stitz. He goes by Stitz. He goes by Stitz.
Okay. Stitz was actually in an automobile accident when he was an early teenager with his mother at the wheel when they were driving down the street and a Ford Bronco that was jacked up went out of control and drove up over their fucking car and crushed him inside. Now, let me tell you something right now. I think that I do believe the safety will go back down once we have a lot smaller cars because, number one, dude, there's a lot less rolling fucking mass.
Yeah.
That's just pure physics. But the thing about it is everything from safety to SUVs, no one told anyone, hey, dude, you know, you need to go buy a newer car. But the problem is I believe personally that, I think safety is an escape goat. And I think the reason that we have such strenuous, if not ridiculous, safety items, the biggest one in my that just is a fucking smoking gun for me is daytime running lamps on cars. General Motors puts them on. A lot of people put them on.
I turn my lights on during the day.
It's actually more of a danger to other cars, especially when you drive in the desert, because reflecting headlights can screw up your judgment of distance of how close or far away a vehicle is. That's actually been a study that's been done. But General Motors continues to put them on. It's under the guise of safety, but just like SUVs, they kind of said, you know, off the record, hey, you know, bigger vehicle, you're up higher, command seating, quote unquote, you know, safer kind of vehicle. It's bullshit. The reason they claim it's a safer vehicle is so they can sit is they can sell you these things. General Motors isn't simply jacking up the they are not, trust me, the cost of a daytime running lamp does not neither eat into the profit margin nor do they break even on it. You pay for those things and you pay GM a hefty profit to have daytime running lamps installed in your car. Every kind of safety feature you can comprehensively think of that goes into a car, you pay a huge markup for when the vehicle is built. And the biggest thing of all is airbag curtains. Yes, airbag curtains are good in the sense that, you know, they can keep your head and from a side accident. But here's the thing. They're good, and I believe in small cars. If you have like a subcompact or a compact car, SUVs and shit like that are actually medium to full size cars, completely unnecessary if you engineer them properly. But the reason they love to install them is when you crash and they deploy, that means that the price of repairing the vehicle
up to the roof
becomes so uneconomical for the insurance agency that they automatically junk the car, forcing you to buy a brand new one.
Yes.
And safety features like that are disposable safety features are just completely destroyed.
Yep. And one thing I will say, like, about, you know, I mean, it's all in the design of a vehicle. Mm-hmm. You and I know this is going to sound almost like I'm trying to be a sort of a sadist or something, but
go ahead.
Think about how a car is designed and where what's called the B pillar. And that's the pillar that sits right behind your head in a car, usually.
Right. Middle pillar.
The middle pillar, if you will, in a car. When you look, the front windshield has its front pillar, your middle car has its B pillar, middle pillar, and the C pillar is in the back.
Right.
That B pillar positioning is really the reason why a lot of, my opinion of why the airbags are there. Mm-hmm. People are bouncing their heads off of the B pillar, which means they're bouncing their heads off of the seatbelt height adjuster and things like that. If you designed the car a little bit better with a little more space from, you know, where the person's head is in the cabin in relation to that B pillar, move the B pillar out a little more. Maybe, you know, to, like, say, if you're a passenger, out to your right a little more. Move it behind you a little more.
Very, very, that's very, very true.
You will actually have less injury in one way, because your head will hit a window.
Right.
But it's popcorn glass. It's going to burst. You're going to get cut. You are going to get bruised. You're going to get kind of,
But it's a hell of a lot easier on your head because it gives, whereas the steel of a B-pillar will not. But the reason they don't do that is because if they make the car wider at the top right there, that's like $10 extra in steel per vehicle.
But
they
what they could save in the $4,000 of airbags by $10 of steel, that's where the trade-off is. And
very true.
Amazingly enough, a smarter design can be a safer design in the sense of how you lay everything out.
As smart car is a very good example of engineering.
Brilliant example of engineering, and I'm very happy to see them on the roads here in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Very happy.
I believe, honestly, they're ugly as shit. I like the Sport Coupe version of smart car.
The 2.4?
Yes. Yeah. If that was released, then yeah, people would fucking eat them up.
Well, let's take a look at that roadster market that came back. You know, you have the Sky from Saturn, which is a Vauxhall. Which is a Vauxhall design. Saturn took it, made it the Sky. Pontiac took it, made
it's
it
actually
these.
A Lotus design.
Is it a Lotus design?
This is a big thing with General Motors. GM and Lotus are actually not with GM, but Lotus. Lotus has a good history, everything from the DeLorean up to
Well, I knew the Lotus had some in the DeLorean.
Yeah.
I
mean, what the hell is that little fucking two-seater that Lotus makes? Not the XE.
Oh, the Elise?
The Elise.
Those are everywhere, too.
The Elise is the Vauxhall, is the Saturn Sky. The suspension is the exact same, except the spring rates on them are modified. Top Gear actually did an investigation on that, and they took measurements of everything and found that they did the exact same design, but gave General Motors shittier specs, so they can't corner as well, and they can't brake as well, and they can't take off as well as a Lotus version of
that
suspension.
But the aftermarket can correct that.
Hell, you don't even aftermarket. You can just go buy the fucking Lotus parts and install them.
Because they're the same parts.
Yeah, and they work fucking fine.
Fair enough.
Same thing with the DeLorean when they did that kind of shit right there, when they put larger springs and shittier springs up front but left the rear one stock.
Right. All right, real quick, we want to throw it out there. You're listening to Spank Wagon Radio. You can find us online, spankwagon.net. If you missed the intro coming in late to this, don't hesitate. We have the podcast available by going to Spank Wagon, clicking on the podcast link. Also, if you're live, whether you're listening to us live through LV Rocks or any of other wonderful syndicates, go ahead and join in the chat room. You just got to go to spankwagon.net, click on the cam and chat link. That'll bring up the webcam. We're going back to the traditional webcam, dumping the video, just wasn't working out. And we have the chat room. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your opinions. Let's see. Mindy Lou Bob in the chat room a little bit ago said, I'm going to ride my bicycle. It might help the size of my ass.
Yes, obesity is actually going down quite a bit, because especially among students who don't have the income to support
vehicles,
fuel for the vehicle. So there's a lot of good things. I hope personally that the price of gas stays high for quite a while longer. I know it's going to be hard on people. I know it's going to be really rough, but I think what's going to happen is, as a result, we'll probably see SUVs probably become more valuable as scrap than anything else. And I think as well, because Ford is actually throttling back SUV production and moving their employees over to compact car lines, I would like to see this happen first before we start lowering gas prices. I think that we need to force people into a major overhaul,
I can agree with
consumers
that.
And manufacturers. I would probably like to see gasoline, you know, I don't really want to see it go up too much higher, except for maybe if we did $5 by the another dollar by the end of the year, that would really fuck up the economy. I'd like to probably only go maybe about a quarter to 50 cent higher.
I think, we have to hover around $4.
Maybe $4.30 max. Of course, you know, that's Vegas prices. California tack on another 30 to 50 cents. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I'd like to see that hover for about another year to year and a half. I think by that time, we'll go ahead and we'll junk a lot of useless vehicles, because a big trend that people are seeing now is the reemergence of classic vehicles on the road because they get better gas mileage.
Better gas mileage, and there's a little bit. They're cheaper to buy. I mean,
very cheap to maintain. I even talked with a guy that owns a Fiat X19. I met him on my lunch break the other day. He pulled in, and I struck up a conversation. He has one that's a fuel, and it's a little four-cylinder, two-seater roadster, convertible, you know, or at least a T-top where top pops off, fuel-injected. Bosch K-Jetronic, he's getting 50 miles to the gallon in this thing.
Jeez.
The Subaru Brat, if you tune them right, they're getting like 40 to 45 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
And a Subaru Brat can haul four people and a ton of stuff in the back. I think we get enough time to scrap out these old vehicles and junk them where nobody wants them anymore. We change a lot of consumers' buying trend, especially if instead of, you know, where we really start making people be shamed for buying SUVs and things like that, you know, stop making them status symbols, make them, you know, kind of a symbol of the bourgeois class,
well,
so to speak.
I think that's
something for the greater good, personally.
I think that's already starting to happen because I've noticed a trend with a lot of luxury cars. I've noticed that in the past 5 years, and I'll say in the 5 years, there's been a lot more luxury cars on the road than there have been in the past. It seems like more people are driving the BMWs and the Mercedes and those types of cars because, again, that foreign engineering, which, of course, they've had to be fuel efficient for a long time. So there's benefits to that level of fuel efficiency and that level of experience really in the automotive field.
And I think, too, if we give it enough time as well, and this is the really, really big thing for me as well, in my opinion. I think if we go ahead and give enough time, even truckers are slowing down because they realize if they do the speed, if they like shave like 10 miles per hour off their travel time, you know, they're squeezing out like, you know, good God, an extra, you know, anywhere from $500 to $1,200 per load just in fuel.
Jesus.
That's what they're saying.
Now,
just,
I know.
Just by slowing down like 10 miles per hour and doing the fucking speed limit. Now, that's something that's very amazing. And what I'd like to see, that's another reason, too, is perhaps doing this so people learn to slow the hell down. And we become a slower society on the roads. And, you know, if we do that, not so much for gas consumption per se, but people then will be more accepting of four-cylinder vehicles and vehicles that are more geared towards economy. Not so much that they're not geared towards performance, but dude, you know, you can have a high performing four-cylinder car.
Yeah.
All right. And you can still get a lot better gas mileage than some economy tuned piece of shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, SUV. Again, it's on the vehicle and it's on the
people don't need to tow shit with an SUV. And like I actually saw in a FARC thread, one guy said, you know, hey, one person complained, I got a Jetta and I got my wife and two kids. We don't have room for our shit on a trip. We need an SUV. Another guy said, you moron, I got a fucking tow hitch and I just go to U-Haul and get a fucking box trailer. Yeah, my mileage goes down to 35. He goes, I lose like, you know, 8 to 10 miles per gallon, you know, if I'm going through the hills and stuff with it. Yeah. But you know what? I still get a hell of a lot more mileage than if I had everything in a single SUV. I'm still getting double. And, you know, I have much less of a car payment. And I think.
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way, though. You're looking at size of vehicles and stuff like that. Let's make the European-American link here. Take a look at a semi, an American lorry versus a European lorry. What are some of those significant differences?
First of all, safety, because there's bars all around so you don't get crushed or run over.
Well, yeah, and their bumper bar, the rear bumper bars actually works on the European version.
What they were testing before, the diesel-electric hybrids, running them just like they do locomotive engines that you see out there with a simple, I think was it like a 5 or 6 cylinder inline diesel engine?
Right.
Actually just running a generator. And the you know, average semi here gets like 6 to 8 miles to the gallon, and they were breaking 24 miles to the gallon, hauling 80,000 pounds because they're running diesel electric hybrids. Mm-hmm. Amazing stuff.
Well, I mean that, you know, with that diesel electric and then that trains are going to make a big comeback. Just
hopefully
because of,
so, hopefully so.
And I think that, you know, shipping container trucking is going to be huge, and that is. You know, that's going to help us make some major changes as well.
Oh, it will. And that's when you need a hybrid. You need a hybrid for big things like that. Diesel, I still like diesel technology. I think diesel right now is becoming less and less predominant because, dude, diesel's fucking expensive, number one. Mm-hmm. Not just petroleum, but San Francisco's had have a rash of police crimes on their hands. Theft of cooking grease.
because biodiesel.
You can find a biodiesel. Little, what the hell is that? CH204. Methanol.
Okay.
The top fuel dragsters race.
Right. Methanol, but yeah, okay, keep going.
It's the same fuel. Take a little bit of that, can of lye, and you have biodiesel. A lot of people don't realize that grease cars still have saffron and they have fat in it, actual fat, glycerin, and that clogs up. That's why you need a preheater. Mm-hmm. You run lye through it, which basically bonds to the fat and drains it off. Guess what? You've got regular diesel I can store and will not decompose and doesn't need to be preheated.
Right. So there you go. A little bit of science on Spank Wagon Radio.
And hopefully so, between this new fuel for algae, which algae grows like a mofo.
Well, algae or switchgrass. I mean, there's so many ways to make a biofuel.
The biggest one right now that they're touting is corn.
Of course.
Sugar cane.
Yeah, well, okay, let's cover that a little bit then. In you know, Brazil, they use sugar cane, but then they made the mistake where they became too dependent on it, and a bad yield and a bad crop wiped out their fuel situation again. You see, in Brazil, several years ago, they were in what we're at now with the fuel prices being so high that they were actually impairing society. And they were a very car consumer, you know, they were a very automobile consumer country. They still are. Well, what they decided to do is they said, we need to diversify. They said it in Brazilian, not English. And what happened was is they went and said, okay, what can we make fuel out of? They learned that you can make ethanol very efficiently out of sugarcane. Now, the problem with making a fuel out of a renewable resource like a crop, and this is the biggest problem with it, is there could be a bad year. You could have a drought year. You could have you could have some weird sort of sugar fungus wipe out an entire crop. What they had was a drought, a severe drought, like 2 or 3 year drought, took the crops down. So they realized that, okay, all we did was move our pendulum piece from the left to the right. We need to find that middle.
But that kind of diversification is good.
And what? Well, yeah, it is. And what they have now, and they have had it for years, is they have had a genuine flex fuel vehicle. They have had a car that, you know, runs on both regular gasoline, but if it needs to, it can run on ethanol gas, the E85 or more.
Right, run actually straight alcohol as well. And a lot of people don't realize this. Flex fuel just means it automatically adjusts the timing.
It's the
spark advance and retardation to
let's give it a little bit more detail here just for everybody. By adjusting the spark advance, you're adjusting the timing of the engine. You're adjusting the temperature that the burn. You're adjusting the compression. Not the ratio, because that stays pretty same. But what you're adjusting is the amount of spark given to ignite the fuel mixture in the cylinder.
The time of spark, its duration. And
I know I mauled something.
Yeah. It's not that hard, and it works off a NOx sensor. Technically, any car you own right now could fucking do it with a simple chip to delay it.
Very simple.
And, you know, all you need is basically a fucking screwdriver to do it to any kind of, like, a traditional engine with a regular distributor.
Get a dwell meter, then you'll be screwed.
Sugar, but yeah, see a drought, yeah, kind of hits them hard down there, but trust me, dude. Being down there, like, just even in Texas, it's a fucking jungle. Dude, shit will grow
You need to find the type of plant that people, you know, that does grow everywhere. Now, one plant I've heard is kudzu. If you've ever heard of kudzu, K-U-D-Z-U or something like that, it's a Japanese plant that basically is like a vine, but it grows rampantly everywhere down in the South. Mm-hmm. And what this does is it grows so efficiently and so well that it can actually, if you make it like a, weave it in with like a trellis for your patio, you will have 100% cover after maybe a year or two. You know, it's that thick and that robust, and it does not need a lot of water. Well, some scientists have now taken that plant and they've started breaking it down, going, holy cow, you know, here is a plant that breaks down entirely into sugars. Or almost entirely with very little waste residue, which is a concern. But waste residue, you compost it, turn it into nitrogen, turn it into fertilizer, use it to grow more kudzu. It's not that hard, people. It's not like mad cow. You cannot feed your own pets
and food. Green algae and blue green algae are much the same way as well. All you basically need is just sunlight and a little bit of seeding for them, and it grows like a wildfire at a very quick, very short period of time. It's just fucking amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, there are solutions out there. They do exist. We just need to invest more and be patient. You know, people mentioned the riding the bike. Mini Lou Bob mentioned the riding the bike. Yeah, you know what? That's going to take another culture change altogether, because you have to then start planning for cyclists.
Now, as well, a lot of people are saying, you know, like on CNN, they've been talking about this. A lot of people bought these SUVs and they're locked in to big loans and things of that sort. You know, like, hey, you know, I got this fucking car and I'm not driving it, so it's a useless piece of shit. And, you know, and a lot of people are saying, well, you know, it doesn't make sense to get it repossessed. It makes perfect fucking sense. Why would you, if you fucking get a car repossessed, it freezes it right then and there on your fucking interest rate. Yeah. I think personally what people should do is if you own a Hummer, an SUV of any type of, or, you know, any kind of excessively gas-guzzling vehicle that you don't need, repo it. And the reason I say that right there, I think it's a very Fight Club-y kind of answer to bring the credit scores back on down, to really fuck over the lenders.
Well, it's not like they haven't been fucked themselves with the housing market, but we'll get into that some other time.
I think it'll do a lot better.
We got a lot of time to do all this stuff. All right, you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
You're listening to Spankwagon Radio.
And we encourage everybody to join our conversation by either going to the chat room in Spankwagon, the Spankwagon chat room. You can find it online, spankwagon.net. Can I say it one more time?
Go ahead.
Spankwagon. All right, we want also to hear from people. Give us a call, 1-866-LV-ROCKS. That's 1-866-587-6257. We want to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break, let our voices recover. You got this one?
Yeah, I got this one.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
Spankwagon.
feel like dying in the sand. A single red rose clutched in a dying hand. And I don't know what to see in your old time. And a big black bird gathered in the sky. Mother of all the joys, mother of all the souls, into seaweed tonight. But all about tomorrow's years went by, and then the killers came. Took the man, marched him up a hill of flame. I locked a faggot cord, let it to last. Blew his brains out with a pistol of his ass. Mother of all the joys, mother of all the souls, into sea. Search the town instead. For love as it comes as the anthrax that swept away.
Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time in Spank Wagon Radio where we honor our dead celebrities of the week! Tonight's first dead celebrity of the week, Jackson Pollock. No, Sidney Pollock.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Sidney Pollock. He did Titsy. Big fucking deal.
But he did 3 Days of the Condor, which is a great film.
Never heard of it.
What? Oh, we're going to have to watch that one. Watch your shit.
You don't watch fucking movies. And I don't want to see some shit about some dude spending 3 days on figuring out and screwing a fucking light bulb.
What?
Duh, that's what it must be. Guy's fucking name's Pollock.
No, that's the wrong... Well, wait, no, that is the right city. Fuck, no, I can't even read it. All right, Sidney Pollack was an American award-winning film director, producer, and actor born in Indiana to a Russian-Jewish immigrant family. He studied with...
Wow. What's with the damn condom here? There were so many potatoes. Now you got to surround us by corn. No, oh, the promised land indeed. Mr. Big Spender. Yeah.
Well, sure, needless to say, Sidney Pollack, film, TV, acting, did Tootsie. Did you know he did Tootsie? That's the only one they always talk about, Tootsie, and the way they were.
I don't give a shit about fucking Tootsie, dude. It's blown out of fucking proportion, dude. I'm tired of that shit, dude. And the poster scared of, it didn't really like frighten me, but made me uncomfortable to look at when I was a kid.
You're
like,
you thought Dustin Hoffman was hot. Say it.
No, dude. You look like a fucking bitchy school marm I used to see.
Hold on. Let me get my Claude Burns on. I thought Dustin Hoffman was hot. I'm Claude Balls.
No. Looked like a fucking bitchy school marm that used to like, you know, yell at me when I was in school, dude.
Turned you on, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Okay. I'm not Catholic.
Hey, wait. I am.
That's right.
Damn. All right. So, Sidney Pollack passed away age 73. He's one of our dead celebrities of the week. More importantly... Would you like to read this one? Would you like to go over this one? Yeah, would you like me to even recue the music?
Ah, dude, fuck that. I got my own music.
What do you got? Okay. We'll
play something a little sad.
What do you have? Jesus, it sounds like my car starting up. Okay, we'll keep going.
Harvey Herschel Corman.
Herschel?
Herschel was his middle name.
Herschel.
Sounds like a candy bar. He passed away this week. He was an American comedic actor who performed in television movie productions beginning in 1960. His big break was being a featured performer on The Danny Kaye Show.
Wait, he was on the Danny Kaye Show?
He was on the Danny Kaye Show. He actually moved out, tried very many times to finally break into show business, and when he finally got noticed by Danny Kaye is when he was like, hey, dude, you're funny. Put him on the show. From there, he went on, and he did...
Wait a minute. This thing is twisting up here. What the hell?
Yeah. Because, you know, in his honor, he's a good fucking comedian actor.
Comedian? He's a good comedian. Yeah, he's one funny comedian.
You know what it meant. That's all it counts. So anyhow, after that, he did the Carol Burnett Show, where he did a huge stint on that for quite a long time until he left, formed his own show, and that didn't work out. And Dick Van Dyke tried to fill his shoes, and that don't work out. Because, you know, I like Dick Van Dyke, but he's just
his humor is way different. I mean, yeah. Harvey Korman could, you know, and especially once you go into later in the career, once he started teaming up with Tim Conway.
Yes.
It unfucking stoppable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could not outdo these two. And what was great is... And I'll say that, you know, we'll kidnap and kill the dead celebrity bit, I guess, part right now.
Yeah.
You could not beat when these two were together and trying to outdo each other.
Yes. And eventually they just break down and laugh. And that's it became funnier than the jokes they were doing themselves. Yeah. Because especially when he was paired with Tim Conway, and Conway would just, they were two straight men, but Conway just wouldn't let up.
Yeah. Conway is one to never quit. As a matter of fact, what I recommend after the show, after Spankwagon, go on to YouTube. And look up Claude after the show. After the show, Claude.
I'll kill everybody's bandwidth.
Yeah, you'll destroy everybody's bandwidth. Look up old Carol Burnett Show outtakes. There are some fascinating and hilarious shit that they pulled. So Harvey Korman, though, if anybody doesn't know, was also in a few films. High Anxiety, a lot of Mel Brooks films. There's a...
High Anxiety, a lot of people say it's one of his funniest roles. His most memorable, however, of course, was as Hedy Lamarr.
That's Hedley!
Hedley Lamarr in the epic Blazing Saddles. Actually, very hilarious fucking movie, to be honest. He did other films,
Oh, come on.
Too.
Blazing Saddles, one of those films, no matter when, no matter how many times you've seen it, we've done it. Hey, dude, what's on? I don't know. What do you want to watch? I don't know.
Blazing Saddles.
I got Blazing Saddles. Yeah, throw it in.
Throw it in. Let's watch Blazing Saddles. It never gets old. It really doesn't. But he did a lot of different movies. Some are just not...
Where's Froggy?
Daddy love Froggy.
Froggy love Daddy.
Taggart, where's Froggy? I didn't see it when it come in. Yeah. But he did a lot of movies. No, good God, he was in the fucking Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yes, he was.
Chief Gormanda.
Singing and dancing with B. Arthur, I'm sure.
And Wilford Brimley. God damn. I got to get a copy of
we
that.
We have to find that. If you could find
it. Well, now I got to see Trail of the Pink Panther because he played Professor Balls. Oh, that's awesome. But yeah, he was also in Huckleberry Finn, played the King of France. Yep. And a lot of other shit right here.
Well, a lot of other shit. He's got the list. He's got the fucking list, and he says a lot of other shit.
It's a lot of other shit, yeah. He's the History of the World Part 1 is Count de Money. but yeah, Harvey Korman, yeah, he was old as shit.
Yeah, 81?
81.
81 or 83? Which one is
81,
it?
81. Was 81? According to this. He actually had a brain aneurysm or complications from a ruptured abdominal aortic and... He fucking was bleeding in his head. This was after he had a operation about 4 months ago, mm-hmm. and he was fine. But the next day, he had the operation was actually to remove a tumor, and they didn't expect him to survive. But he pulled through it, and then finally just came back and just upped and bit him in the ass.
Well, yeah, but when you're 81 years old, you've had a great, it was a late start career, but a great career all the same. You will be remembered. Unfortunately, and this is so sad. In the chat room here, Mindy Lou Bob just said, I've never seen Blazing Saddles.
That's fucking sad.
Wow. I mean, that's one of those given. That's one of those given movies. Yeah. It's not even a bad movie, bad pizza thing. It's just you've got to watch it. You will laugh. There will be something in there that'll make you
laugh. It's fucking hilarious. The sheriff's a near. He said the sheriff's near. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
Harvey Korman is fucking hilarious as all hell. I actually saw reruns when I was a kid of Carol Burnett's show.
We all did. Well, yeah. Okay. You and I have a good appreciation of old.
Yeah.
Old movies, old Hollywood.
And I just want to say one thing right now. Dane Cook should take notice of Harvey Korman because Harvey Korman will be missed.
Dane Cook should die?
Dane Cook should die, but Dane Cook is a shitty comedian. No one will give two shits and a fuck when he dies.
Why the animosity to Dane Cook?
I don't like Dane Cook.
Okay. Again, why the animosity? Just why do you not like him?
Well, the thing about it is with Dane Cook is Dane Cook is not actually funny. No, hear me out. Hear me out.
You've said the same thing three times.
Hold on. People don't like Dane Cook because he makes them laugh. People like Dane Cook because every time he says something, it's just simply an in-joke to some skit or some shit he's done before. And then simply people are entertained by being a part of the in-crowd.
Oh, okay, I see. Because I don't watch Dane Cook because I just don't get it.
That's the problem.
I don't think he's
that's
that funny.
Why. Because every time Dane, it's like, dude, seriously. And I was doing it today. I was reminiscing about a time I was reminiscing. Got almost caught in one of those perpetual fucking brain loops.
By the way, the chat room. I got to stop you just a second. The chat room is going on spouting out one-liners for Blazing Saddles.
Absolutely.
Bravo, chat room. Bravo.
Teutonic twats. Anyhow.
We're going to need a shitload of dimes.
Somebody's got to go back and get a shitload of dimes.
You can't see, but that's a quality of a great movie. But
it is. But no, Dane Cook is not funny. First of all, I've seen his work. I was forced to sit through
I've seen his work.
I had to sit through and watch Employee of the Fucking Month. Okay.
Why did you have to?
Because I had to test the fucking movie. It's a part of my job to look for errors in movies.
Nice.
I fucking hate Dane Cook and I hate Jessica Simpson, dude. It was fucking horrible. It was like watching Burl Ives sodomize Wilford Brimley. Okay, you don't want to see that kind of shit. Imagine sitting there for an hour and a half.
In my mind now, I have the snowman from Rudolph. Gangbanging or something more foul to a bowl of oatmeal with diabetes.
Yeah. And imagine, dude, he's like putting oatmeal on his dick to lubricate Wilford Brimley's asshole.
Oh, no. Come on.
It's like,
no.
Take it. Oh, take it there, you bitch. Take my rock candy mountain, you know? That's how uncomfortable fucking Employee of the Month was.
No, I'm laughing. That might actually turn out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet spawned two girls in one cup. We'll just do two Wolfers in a bowl of porridge or something. I mean, oh my God.
It's fucked up, man. And like I said, the movie was just that bad. And then Dane Cook and himself, my wife once told me she saw like early work that he actually was kind of funny. And she's like, yeah, he's pretty funny. You should take a look. Huh? Yes, first Comedy Central special is apparently had some funny stuff in it, but now it's not funny, and it's just everything he does now is just an old in joke about something he's done before. Like, dude, remember that time I did that funny joke? Wasn't that funny? And everyone's like, yeah, that was so funny. He's like, yeah, that's right. Ha ha ha. Laugh, bitches. Yeah. And they just fucking. And that's what he does. He'll slam a fucking mic and shit like that. And then everyone's like, woo, because they remember when he was funny. That's what people are cheering. People are cheering a time when Dane Cook was actually funny.
Yeah, I want to know, though. I've noticed that he has this little symbol. Is it the shocker?
No, it's like you're throwing somebody a middle finger with both your middle and your ring finger. I don't know what it is. I've seen it on a lot of symbols around town.
Okay, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
And I'm sure, once again, it's like some kind of in joke. And I heard a fucking advertisement for him. I'm not gonna drive any like I am anyway. But I'm not gonna say where he's playing here in town because I'm not gonna fucking try to drive sales at all or advertise for him. But I heard the radio spot for him. It's like, do you know about Dane Cook? Find out everyone's talking about, so you can be in too, know what's going on. And that's basically what it was. It's like, be a part of the fucking in crowd, but you know. Wasn't come be entertained, okay? Even god awful as some of these fucking people are coming to fucking Vegas and shit, they're like, come see entertained, you know, be entertained by this or that.
Well,
enjoy an evening with. But it's like that whole thing was just be on the part of the in crowd. Try to understand Dane Cook, and maybe then you'll be accepted by your friends, was basically what the fucking ad is saying. I swear to God, I need to get a copy of this for you to hear.
You do, because yeah. this is just.
It wasn't saying come be entertained by Dane Cook.
It was just be entertained.
It was basically by existing? Fit in with your friends.
Oh, in other words, okay, you can be cool too by listening to Dane Cook.
Dane Cook's fucking act to me is like a fucking Newport ad. You see people smoking and having a good time, and you're like, well, I guess they're having a good time, and maybe if I smoke too, I'll finally be able to fit in with that crowd. But
you
really don't want to.
But I can't fit into a 1950s bowling shirt, and I just don't have the Chris Kraft motorboat in the background on a lake. I understand.
I'm thinking of the black people in the back of the Weekly World News, but, you know, to each his own.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. They're black. They're, you know, happy because they've got a little cash in their pocket, and they've got Newports, dude, and Newports made that happen.
Newports made that happen?
Yeah, Newports. Black people love menthol. No one knows why, but but seriously, man, yeah, that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it's always like some fucking cigarette ad, like, ha, be alive.
Dane Cook.
Not enjoy a cigarette. Enjoy the life that smoking a cigarette
can
bring.
In other words, what you're saying is Dane Cook is the Marlboro man. No.
Yeah,
because,
he's fucking riddled with cancer.
Well, them too. But Dane Cook is, no, Dane Cook is that magazine insert that everybody looks. Can I try this in English?
Go ahead.
Everybody looks glamorous.
We'll clean it up in post.
We don't have a post. Never have. But everybody looks glamorous, and it's a high rise, and you know because you can see the city, and it's all below you because you're a smoker.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
Even though smokers now have to go outside away from everybody in order to riddle themselves with cancer and die.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. But that's the way Dane Cook's fucking ads are. Dane Cook doesn't want people to be entertained. He wants people to fit in because then you can be part of the in crowd and keep his fucking shit going. You know, it's like I once thought, man, this guy's kind of funny. I saw him like on The Tonight Show. He did some bit like he says, I went to a party. We played a game called Who's in My Mouth. I'm like, I've never heard of him. That's kind of funny. We tried watching him one night. He just wasn't funny. And that's what it is. He fucking just wants to reminisce about funny shit he did in the past.
Now, wait a minute. You are very guilty of that.
I am very guilty, but I am also very fucking creative and know how to adjust and know how to talk about new shit.
Okay. Fair enough. Wow.
You're dead.
All right.
I hope Dane Cook. Dear Jesus, please kill Dane Cook.
Are you praying?
Thank you, God.
You found a religion to pray to?
As long as it kills Dane Cook. Sure. Oh, I'll sacrifice some fucking goats or whatever.
Chicken bones.
Yeah, that's a good idea, dude. Hey, fatwa. Who wants a jihad on Dane Cook? I do. That's right.
Well, we can get Fark after, but I think they're all dead.
Dude, that's what we got to do. It's what we got to do. We got to go and like fucking start an internet rumor that Dane Cook pisses on the Quran during his act, and therefore like Islamic people want to fucking blow Dane Cook.
All right. Ooh, just put it on Dig.
Awesome. Let's do it.
No, actually, let's not do it. Let's ask someone else to do it.
Just forward it.
We don't know where you got that idea from.
I just got it right now.
Not you, asshole. our listeners, them, yeah.
Go ahead, dude. That's how we can kill Dane Cook. Because you wouldn't let me do my other idea, okay?
What was that?
I wanted to fucking start a petition to recall Mayor McCheese, all right? But you wouldn't fucking do that.
I love there, McCheese.
Fuck him. What has he done? Crime doesn't go down. The fucking Hamburglar's still on the goddamn loose. There's no fucking daycare center. The retarded kids are running around because that's what the fry kids are. They're the embodiment of fucking retards.
He's an equal opportunist.
They're every fucking color but green, but they try to blend in as bushes.
Okay. But look, it's equal opportunity. Grimace is still around, and that's a big sign.
He's a fucking token, whatever the fuck he is.
You know he's supposed to be a milkshake?
What?
Grimace, the character of Grimace in the McDonald's lore
is up milkshake
is
looks
a
like that, dude. Just even speaking about color-wise,
maybe it's the dye they use to make the whatever look like chocolate.
I guess maybe if, like, Violet Beauregard fucked an Oompa Loompa, dude, when she was still blue or purple.
Violet Beauregard had to have fucked a Jell-O mold, okay? That's all there is to it. Just saying, just pointing out, you know.
Oompa Loompa doopity-doo, I'm gonna fill you up with my jungle goo.
Jungle goo?
Yeah. That's where fucking Oompa Loompas come from, dumbass. And that's probably what they call their color.
Wait, what?
That's a semen joke. I'm so glad you caught on. Hey, welcome to the conversation, man. How you been? Man, how's your mama doing?
It's been a while. I can't keep up anymore. This is not good. All right. Do we want to go to another bit? Let's talk about things.
Professional. Should we do another bit to kill time?
Yeah. I posted the return of Claude on Spankwagon, I posted the return of Claude on some of our syndicates. And one of them immediately goes, I remember Shitty Mitty.
Wow. Who
I'm like, holy fuck, who remembers Shitty Mitty?
Last time I did Shitty Mitty, dude, like nobody got it. I was actually playing Mellow Yellow. I did like both an instrumental and the MIDI, and no one could fucking catch on. That's how sad it was.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, and that's when we decided, okay, it's time for a bit to die. Another bit that they brought up.
Yeah.
Another bit that was brought up in one of the forums, the Jack Shit Award.
Yeah.
If you remember the Jack Shit Award, the winner of that prize, we just basically hung up on him and made fun of him. Care for your hard drive? We almost had catastrophic failure.
Nah.
Oh, you've done that before.
Yeah.
I like your, what kind of hard drive is it? It looks like a hip flask.
It's a, it's a small one. I actually got this thing at, it's...
What kind is it? Small?
Small. This is actually a cannibalized hard drive inside from my old PowerBook.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that failed because of a...
Is that the one you tantrum. Broke the seam or the hinges on?
No, that one was stolen.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Stolen from my mom's apartment in Houston.
Huh.
She lives in the fucking hood. She won't move.
Well, you know.
Well, she lives in hood. She lives in the diet hood.
She's what? So it's sort of Shasta and Shasta Light,
kind of
diet hood.
Yeah, like the one time we went to Timmy Chan's fried chicken and fried rice.
Whoa!
Fucking Houston.
Whoa.
That was scary.
Wait! Did Timmy Chan? Yeah. Yo, welcome to Timmy Chan's. Yo, what the fuck? Serious. There's a place named Timmy Chan.
There's several of them in Houston. They're really good.
It's a franchise?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, man. Look pretty good, man.
Three or four is a franchise, you know? Hey.
Hey, don't knock it, dude.
Man, this ain't no franchise, man. This is the hookup.
They wouldn't take ATM cards, and I was afraid to flash anything more. I said, I'm going to go find an ATM. I'm like, get to the car. Let's go.
Run!
Yeah. Hey, man, you help me out? No.
But I got to ask, because we've done... one of our first bad foods way long ago.
Bad food was actually something we thought about. Of all the bad foods, my wife has ridiculed me over when she heard about these.
Spotted Dick?
No.
Rice Krispie Treats?
Never had Spotted Dick.
Yeah, the Spotted Dick Rice Krispie Treats you made.
Oh yeah, when we did the bacon in it.
They did the bacon. There was the fish oil, which I couldn't even touch without gagging. I could smell and gag.
Yeah, the fermented fish oil.
Fermented fish oil.
My wife really makes fun of me because of chicken and waffles.
But chicken waffles was brilliant. We just had no budget for it.
But she calls me like the cheapest, dumbest white boy ever because we had McNuggets and mini Eggos.
Yes, mini Eggos and McNuggets.
We ate them together, apparently.
I understand chicken waffles is like, you know, waffles and bacon. Chicken is meant to be a side meat. It's not meant to like...
A side meat? Okay, let me bring down the area mics. Chicken is meant to be a
side meat.
Side meat?
We were making sandwiches out of it. Sandwiches out of it. And apparently my wife told me that is not proper chicken and waffle etiquette.
That's not proper ghetto fab dinner? Hold on.
Watch Fatherhood on the E-Channel.
Fatherhood on the E-Channel.
Snoop Dogg has his own, yes.
Okay.
I ridicule Snoop Dogg. Yeah, Snoop went with David Beckham to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
All right. I can't keep this up too long because it makes everything sound really bad.
That's all right.
I don't want to. I can't even whisper.
Yeah, you can.
These mics are so loud.
So. Anyhow. Yeah. So we're going to go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles one day.
By the way, I'm getting corrected. Toe's fish sauce, not oil.
Yeah, fish sauce. Thank you, Toe. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, you know, you can't even leave, come back, and like get a hi. How are you?
It's
you're fucking wrong.
Thank you, Toe.
All the fucking time.
The fucking comic book guy version of my fucking life here.
The anime comic
book. No, you were incorrect. I remember that time.
You're absolutely correct. I remember because I suffered through the 2 hours of Spank Wagon that evening.
Dude, and that's what we got to play for YouTube in case everyone wants to hear it. Well, no, maybe you can go to Ted, do it on your own. It's a good link. The fucking how-to guide on YouTube to play Top Gun.
Wait, Mindy. Oh, I've seen that. God, it's horrible. It sounds like Reverend Hammer. Side meat. Smeet.
Smeet.
Smeet. The letter S, meat. Smeet. Mm. I'd like to have some smeet.
That kind of ruins it because it sounds too close to treat.
Well.
T-R-E-E-T.
The meat in a can.
Ghetto spam.
The ghetto spam.
If that's possible, dude. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Because you would find it. No, I'm thinking about, dude, you know, you order, go to a restaurant. Go to a nice restaurant. It's top of the world at the Stratosphere down the road from here, okay? Top of the world Stratosphere. You're there. You're ordering a nice. I'd like to have some broccoli florets, cauliflower florets, some carrots. Not baby carrots,
Fuck cauliflower.
Hold on.
Man.
Shut the fuck up.
Bastard cousin of broccoli.
But you know what? Genetic disorders run in the family. You should know this. Okay, so you know, you're ordering here, and I'd like to have some smeet. What kind of smeet would you like? Filet mignon for my first choice of smeet.
Call it European or Tibetan or what the fuck ever, and people will eat it up. That's what they do in fucking LA.
I'd like some smeet with my potatoes, like, you with know, lumps.
Yeah, it's like, no, this is whole food vegetable. No, it's fucking raw, dude. You're fucking,
it's whole food.
Yeah, dude, you're saving money on gas burners that you're not fucking using to cook my food and charging me three times the price.
No, it's organic. No, it's rotten. It's spoiled. Your eggs are turning green and blue.
Oh, I'm sure it's organic because it's fucking made of carbon. Yeah, don't hand me that.
Everything's
shit.
Organic. It's how you produce. My favorite, listening to NPR. Yes, I'm getting old. I listen to NPR. I'm going to go
sad.
Kill myself after the show for admitting this publicly.
So
I'm listening to NPR, and they're talking, what makes an organic tomato an organic tomato? Pure and simple, where it's grown.
What?
Yes. Okay, first off, yeah, there's the no pesticide, herbicide. Well, obviously, if you're putting herbicide on a plant, that's stupid, but you know what I'm saying. It's that, but it's where it's grown. I love this. Ready for this?
I can tell you don't have a green thumb.
The oxygen levels. No, I don't. The oxygen levels at a certain altitude provide a richer, more robust ability for the tomato to absorb the nitrogen that's naturally found in this. Fuck you! It's a goddamn tomato!
Sounds like a fucking U-Band commercial. Where's Juan Valdez and his trusty donkey to pick the finest tomatoes?
They're off selling Coke. Buffalo Jim, apparently.
Yeah. You ever seen those commercials of Buffalo Jim? He has clips of his old show, man. He's like, Buffalo Jim is a giving man.
I give you a line. I give you a high.
Pretty much. Oh. Yeah, and he talks about blowjobs on the air, too. That was great. I got, like, broadcast on
Mindy TV. Lou Bob, we'd like some organic smeet with asparagus tips.
Asparagus is good, but I fucking hate tomatoes. Only way I eat tomatoes is when they've been processed in the sauce, because that way they've atoned for their sins. The devil's fruit.
Why do you... Okay, now, sidetrack time, kids. Everybody, hold on to your seats, and let's go on a fun ride with Claude. What?
I just think, man, you know.
The devil's fruit?
Yeah, dude, you know. Has to atone for its sin of being such a nasty fucking fruit, man. Because it lies, dude.
You're lying, fruit!
Tomato is a fruit laced with the devil's lies because it's a fruit, but it tastes like a vegetable, first of all. Second, it's very disgusting, dude. It fucking rapes your mouth when you bite into it. But when you process it into...
Wait. And what, by chance, is a proper tomato mouth raping?
No.
There no, I want a description. I want a description of a...
It's all gooey and shit inside. No, man. But when you process it into sauce, man, it's like it's atoned for its sins.
So wait. What you're basically taking is a surprise mouth oral ejaculation of tomato and turning it into a bukkake planning with a creamy tomato.
If it keeps people from asking me why I don't like tomatoes, other than the fact to say I just don't like them, then yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm gonna go to that extreme to shut people up.
A tomato is an oral raping of my senses.
Yes. much like some of the people I deal with who try to fucking just rape my goddamn ears. And Ashley Simpson, my wife still laughs her ass off to this. Ashley Simpson's fucking ugly. I told my wife one time, change the channel, man. My fucking ocular nerves are being raped by this bitch. She is that ugly.
Oh, shit.
Rape is not a laughing matter, but it's a fun adjective to get your point across.
Well, yeah, you know, when
That's the kind of shit they should teach on Sesame Street. One, two eyeballs have been raped by ugly hag.
You're ruining my childhood. Stop. Oh my God. It's time to go to a break. Can I run the music on this one, please?
Hold on. Let me see if I got this real quick.
I got it sooner.
Let me hook you up.
Did you just try to wave me off? I'm like, no.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me just play this one for you real quick.
We'll play yours.
I think this is going to be a really good outro for you.
For the break, you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
We do not anally rape your ears. I'm so confused anymore.
now for the smooth and peaceful sounds of Spank Wagon Radio.
Very zen.
I know.
These are the kind of things you listen to and reflect upon your life when you're about to die. Or if you're in a new age crap. Light some candles around the house.
Load up the shotgun.
Get some spirit stones to cleanse your chakra. And end it all.
Write that final letter.
Protesting the cancellation of your gas card. I saw that in a movie. Wow, it's pretty cool. Is this gonna like bust out in a rave?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, hun, go get the glow sticks. We should get this. We carry emergency glow sticks in the car.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow.
In case we're driving down the road, man, and there's like a rave song comes on, we bust them out, man. We shake them. Scares the shit out of other drivers.
Of course it would. Hold on. Oh, there they are. See, we got the. I know no one sees what we're doing. It's a radio and we're doing a sight gag for our benefit purely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was a moment of reflection with Spank Wagon Radio. This is the greatest internet radio show. I'm your host, Trencher.
I, of course, am the infamous Claude Balls.
See, very infamous. All right, we do have a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and remember to bring up my patch panel. Hey, caller.
I've been looking at you through the bedroom window.
Oh, my God, I haven't heard that in ages. Caller, you on the air?
I'm on the air. Well, hello.
My ears are loud. Okay, hello. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. I'm just kind of excited about Claude being there today. And
you and me both.
I just love the banter that you two have going on together and how you can kind of nice segue into different sections. And, you know, it's just not as awkward as it can be.
Oh, no, it's totally awkward here, especially because you don't see it. Not always. Whenever he knows the cam's off him, he's rubbing his nipple. And that's sort of like the international sign of, okay, this topic's dead. I found something more entertaining.
I'm wondering, though, what the hell is up with the green visor, Claude? What's up with that?
It's very Las Vegas.
Someone is looking at the webcam.
That's very good. Yeah, it's my green visor, Claude. Did you never see, like, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No.
Very Hunter S. Thompson thing. Actually, these are very popular with a lot of tourists now.
And losers.
Yeah, not losers, no. No.
Are you sure?
So, dude, this is like vintage Vegas stuff.
Oh, who thinks the visor's a little bit of loserish? Raise your hand. You've been outvoted 2-1.
Mine is up.
Ah!
Wow, and it says the woman in the corner who bought it for me. Thanks, hon.
Oh.
Well, you know, she bought it for you, but you were the one stupid enough to wear it.
Well, you got to understand, this is Claude Balls, though. Claude Balls came to work one day.
I'm naturally eccentric. Hell, I'm dressed up. I'm wearing a tuxedo t-shirt.
You are, and I find that awesome, a tuxedo t-shirt. First off, where'd you get it? Because I need to buy one.
Houston.
Fuck. Well, so much for me running down the street and buying one.
Oh, you can get them online, dude.
I'm sure I could.
I'm actually going to get the one, you know, with the Jesus and the tuxedo t-shirt, man. Very Talladega Nights.
Very nice. All right, so Mindy Lou Bob, what do you want to talk about?
I'm just wanting to know if you want to know anything from your Midwest correspondent here, you know, here 30 miles from Tornado Central or anything.
Yeah, we, for those of you guys who don't know, in, what was it, last week, Sunday, was it?
Yes, Sunday.
Sunday, really close to my hometown, a tornado touchdown, a couple tornadoes touchdown, and literally wiped out two small towns about, like you said, 30 miles away, about 30 miles east,
well, actually,
west.
Yeah, Parkersburg is about, you know, 30 miles away, but the tornado cut a swath all across Iowa, and it was like they've classified it as an F5.
Shit.
And it's the largest Iowa has ever seen and one of the largest the United States has ever seen. The thing was like 1.2 miles wide. It was humongous. It wiped out a whole third of Parkersburg. And there are people, I mean, this community is one of the outlying communities, and this community has been really affected by it. There are tons of people for the great big health system that I work for that have been affected by this. There is a lady in my department that, you know, she was in the tornado. There is, you know, they have to rebuild her house. From what I understand, it's not a total loss, but, I mean, they have, like, They have a curfew. You can't go into the town after like 8 o'clock. It's terrible.
Yeah,
but y'all going to rebuild, ain't you?
Okay, but here's the thing, and you know what? I'm gonna cut you loose there, Mindy Lou Bob. We're going to talk about this. And
call her Mindy Lou Bob?
That's her name, Mindy Lou Bob. Okay. See, that's the name of the chat room. I am respectful to our listeners.
I thought you were making fun of somebody,
no,
man.
No, I'm not. Thank
you. You're from Iowa, man.
All right, so, yeah.
She just totally hung up on her, dude.
Yes, I did. I told her I was going to clear the line. I'm not lying. Did I lie? I said clear the line, and I cleared the fucking line, asshole. All right, so, welcome back.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, you're the one playing Rock You Like a Hurricane. All right, so here's the thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had no fucking songs about tornadoes.
Thank God, I guess. Maybe. They will rebuild. I know someone whose house was completely wiped out. Like, they bought a new, like a herd of Angus cattle to raise just days before, all killed. They found them in other counties, other parts of the county.
That's awesome, dude. It rained free hamburger.
It rained a gourmet hamburger.
Fucking cows are tasty. You know,
but an F5, a mile and a half wide, or a mile and a half, you know, in diameter. F5 tornado. The F5 tornado designation are the car movers. The ones that can literally rip the houses apart, tear them apart, disassemble them, and rebuild them in Illinois. Okay? These are the killer tornadoes that every movie loves to feature. And this was huge.
Wow.
Huge. But, yeah, a lot of families affected, and, you know, we hope they do rebuild. I do hope that they don't make a reality TV show out of it like they are doing in that Missouri town. I think it's
Missouri. I was going to ask our caller before you hung up on her if she did any interviews with rollers in her hair. Didn't know. That seems to be a popular thing.
Well, you know, everybody's caught off guard by a tornado, and they're all doing their hair at the same time. They're at the salon. Never mind.
Yeah.
Bert in the chat room points out that's a 200-mile-plus tornado. Thank you, weather guy Bert. We appreciate that.
I picture him with a bow tie and shit like Nate Tannenbaum.
Hello.
Hi, this is Bert.
Hi.
The tornado was 200 miles per hour. That's enough to fuck your shit up.
Run!
What?
It's a tornado! From where? All right. Fuck you like a fucking hurricane. I can't believe you put...
I'm a tasteless guy.
I can't remember. Well, no, I do remember why I never used to let you use the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about we play something since you said they lost a lot of livestock and you like this song? It's like your fucking theme song.
I don't know what this is.
Didn't this shit happen in the Midwest, too? That's right, Ed Gein.
Yep.
Proud legacy you Iowans have.
Unfortunately. All right, enough of that. We're starting to run out of time, and I don't want to go too far over tonight if I can help it.
Oh, fuck it. Who's coming in after you?
No one radio.
Oh, then who gives a shit, dude?
Well, I kind of tend to because I want to make sure the podcast records.
Oh, it's going to record fine. No,
I don't want to cut anything off. Can I just
Well,
have
then
a...
I guess that's an incentive for your fucking listeners.
Why do you have to argue with me about this goddamn show?
Because it's an incentive for your listeners to fucking tune in. Oh, guess what? Bonus material, but you weren't here to hear it. Fuck off.
Well, you know what? I do want to get through the stuff that I want to get through before the end of the show so we can get to the bonus material, which is separate from the stuff that we're doing now.
I know. You and your fucking nipple playing.
What? Me? That was you. That ain't me. That was you. All right, I hope this is the music. Do you have the music?
For what?
Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time in Spankwagon Radio where we honor everybody in the chat room for hanging out with us as we give everybody...
Mad props!
You ever noticed all of our bits into that S? Like we're... Never mind.
Dude, all of Jim Hetfield's songs end in... Wah! Wah! Wah!
True. All right, so let's give mad props to everybody that's hung out with us in the chat room. First off, mad props to Elvis.
Mad props.
Man, this bit's old. It's even sounding dated doing it now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should we get some old music bits up here?
No, no. We'll get to those in a minute. Let's give mad props to Mindy Lou Bob.
Mad props.
Let's give mad props to Toe.
Mad props.
Hey, let's not forget Virtual One.
Mad props.
Hey, let's give mad props to Dork.
Mad props.
Different Dork.
No,
let's give mad props to Radio X UK, one of our syndicates.
Radio FUK?
No, XUK. Hey, that'd be a good one, too. Radio XUK.
Ah, Radio XUK. Well, cheerio, mad props and ah.
And that's your mad props. Like them. Bad rip.
I tell.
Yeah. Did you fart?
No. Put that fucking chairs, dude. I repositioned my ass and squished out some stench.
Ah.
I did not fart, dude. If I farted, I'd be giggling right now.
That is very... sadly true, actually. You're like, pfft, ah. All right, wait, you have old music?
Yeah, we can play some
old. What old music do you got? We'll use that before I take the credits.
Oh, really? Let's play some old-timey music.
Old-timey music? Oh, jeez. All right, we'll do that to run the credits. But I'll tell you what, we're running a little bit of a buffer overrun. This is fantastic. Entertainer? Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
You have been listening to Spankwagon Radio.
I've been your host, Trencher.
I have been the infallible Claude Balls.
Here we go. We got a bunch of syndicates today. First off, LV Rocks and LVRocks.com. KC Host, KC Host Radio Network. Door From Hell Radio. Fox FM. Showdown Network. Steel City Radio. Radio X UK. And Trax Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in to Spankwagon Radio through these lovely syndicates.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Indeed.
Remember, if we're not live...
We are in the archive, which is somewhere since you resigned the fucking site.
Well, actually, yeah, it's somewhere else. But you can find that archive by going to podcasts.lvrocks.com.
If you can find it, we're in the archive.
The hidden archive of doom with the crystal skull.
Wow. Be careful. They're going to bring back Cold War because of that movie.
Why do you have a copy of The Entertainer?
I don't know, because when I cook pizza, I want my wife to think she's at Shakey's. I play this.
This is fantastic. This is what we're going to take Wagon out on tonight. For everybody out there, we appreciate you. If you want to hang out live, we'll go do a buffer overrun. We'll run a little later on the show than normal. For everybody who's listening to the podcast, this is what you're getting all the way out, man.
Yeah.
In loop. You have a good one. Claude, I'll see you next week.
That you will. Good night, everyone.
Fascinating. Spankwagon Radio, spankwagon.net.